turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. We will look at verses 23 through 26. I'll read the odd-numbered verses, and you'll join me on the even-numbered verses. Stand with me, please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, and I'll begin there at verse number 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for the grace that you've shown our country. We ask that you continue to do so. And Lord, we're coming now to ask that you specifically bless this portion of the service, the preaching time. Be with our preacher as he preaches. I pray, Lord, that we would listen. Lord, that we would examine ourselves, see what areas we need to take heed in. And Lord, I pray that you please just bless the rest of the service. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Four times a year, we observe the Lord's table. I always enjoy it, and I hope that God will use it tonight again in our hearts to remind us of our Savior. In fact, that's what I want to speak about this evening. Don't let the ordinance steal the show or steal the spotlight. Don't let the ordinance steal the spotlight. Heavenly Father, thank you for, in your infinite wisdom, giving us this ordinance as a church to observe. And you weren't real specific about how often we were to come together for this purpose. You left that kind of up just to us. And Lord, we certainly enjoy coming together these four times in a calendar year to remember our Savior, specifically His sacrifice on the cross of Calvary for our salvation. And Lord, help us to keep Jesus in the spotlight of our thoughts and our purpose tonight for being here. help me to direct our attention that way for a little while. And Lord, use the service to draw us closer to Him. And we'll thank You for it. For that's what You intended it to do. And we need Your help to accomplish it in Christ's name. Amen. Stealing the spotlight. Sometimes people will use the little saying, "He stole the show." In other words, it was supposed to be about this certain individual, but because of somebody else's personality or charisma, or maybe their excellent performance, they steal the show. They become the center of attention rather than the one that was supposed to receive it, stealing the spotlight from the one it was supposed to be on. This is not a show, but you understand the point I'm trying to make. It's a shame that religion has made such a meaningless and empty ritual out of something that should have so much life and fullness. And what the denominational churches have done to and with the ordinance of the Lord's Supper is sad. But folks, the truth of the matter is, it's very much human nature, and especially when it comes to religion, it is very much human nature to take that which is simple and meaningful, and through ritual and ceremony, make it complex and ornate and, unfortunately, meaningless almost. Much like the children of Israel did with the idol that they made out of the brazen serpent. Remember that? Remember when Moses made that brazen serpent on the pole? And if you looked, you got bit by the snake. And if you looked, you were made well. And they kept that thing and carried it around with them for years. And it actually became an idol to them. And it didn't accomplish the thing it was supposed to. It did accomplish for the moment the thing that it was supposed to accomplish, but it was never intended to be anything more than what God used it for in that specific occasion. And they made something almost like, what's that word I'm looking for? Iconic out of it. Until finally it was destroyed, and they called it Nehushtan, and they threw it down and destroyed it. Kind of like what happened with Gideon and his ephod after the victory over the Midianites, a simple little ephod, and yet they took it and it became iconic in their worship. Simple matters are exploited and abused and become a poor representation of what they were intended to be. Now, what I want you to do, just think with me for a moment about the simplicity of the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Now, I'm not talking about its meaning. Its meaning is deep, its meaning is broad, its meaning is high, its meaning is holy, but the ordinance itself never was intended to be worshipped. It's who this represents that is to be worshipped. And you don't want to let the ordinance steal the spotlight. The ordinance should be dispensed and carried out in an orderly manner, because like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, let all things be done decently and in order. I'll never forget the first time I saw the Lord's Supper. I participated in the Lord's Supper at First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana. Now, you're talking about a 5,000-seat auditorium that was normally full on Sunday mornings. They always observed it on, I think, the first Sunday of the month there. And boy, the precision and the exactness with which that supper was carried out. And I was impressed with that. But there were 5,000 people in the auditorium, folks. And you know what? If it's kind of like, oh, well, you know what? Let's have the Lord's Supper. Can we get some plates together? And let's get some bread and juice. And y'all, give us a minute. We'll get. If they took that approach, they'd been there till mid-afternoon observing the Lord's Supper. But I will forget. And that's the way it should be done. It should be done precisely. It should be done appropriately. It should be dispensed decently and in order. But wait a minute. To elevate the ordinance itself to a place of pomp and circumstance and glitter and so forth is to place the emphasis on the ordinance and not on Jesus. And I never want that to happen. I don't want the ordinance to steal the spotlight. I don't want us to be so caught up with how it's passed from the pastors to the men, and the men take it and pass it to the people in the pews and then come. Yeah, it has to be done decently and in order. But, you know, the gold-plated instruments that the bread and the juice are served in and all of that, I'm glad it can be this way. But, friend, it should never take the spotlight off the Lord Jesus Christ. It should put the spotlight on Jesus. The ordinance itself, think about it, the ordinance itself consists of things that are very common and simple in life. Table, supper, eat, drink, bread, juice. Nothing fancy about that, folks. Those are simple, common terms that represent or define common events or practices in our lives. A table is a place where family and friends come together. And at the table, family and friends have supper. The root word is sup, which involves eating and drinking. And yet the word is broadened to include that of fellowship. And then the eating involves bread, a common staple. And the drinking involves wine or juice, or as the Gospels call it, the fresh or the fruit of the vine. My point tonight is this. A table is common. A supper is common. Eating is common. Drinking is common. Bread is common. Wine is common. There is nothing so unusual about anything involved in this that warrants the ordinance being worshipped. Does that make sense to you? It doesn't warrant the ordinance being worshipped. It's simple. That's because it's not supposed to be worshipped. He is supposed to be worshipped. The ordinance is just the tool to help us come to the place where we're ready to worship Jesus Christ. And listen, it's so easy to allow the occasion to take the spotlight, to take the spotlight on itself instead of using the occasion as a spotlight. This happens in life. You take Thanksgiving. I think the most Christian holiday in our calendar is that of Thanksgiving. And what's Thanksgiving supposed to be about, folks? It's supposed to be about our thanks to God, right? For His bountiful blessings. And so you know what we do? We put a lot of food on the table to represent the bountifulness of God's blessings. And you know what's happened over the years? The food has become the spotlight. And now it's the meal. And I'm not against that. Obviously, I like to eat, okay? And the food, but the meal becomes the spotlight. And I really wonder sometimes if the whole day passes and all the talk about the food and the cooking and the preparation and no mention is made of God's goodness. The spotlight got taken off God. I think about Christmas. Hasn't that happened at Christmas? Christmas is supposed to be a celebration of Christ's birth. And all that Christmas should do is put the spotlight on Jesus. And now, you know, it's the occasion itself. It's all the stuff that goes into it. My wife came home the other day, or when I came, we were talking. She said she had been to a certain store in the area, and they already had Christmas items on display. It's June. This was before July the 1st. They already had Christmas items on display in that particular store. And now it's become all about the commercialization of Christmas, and the spotlight is taken off of Jesus. And I'm just saying, we come tonight to the Lord's table, and this ordinance is not to be worshipped. This ordinance is not so pomp and circumstance, so glitter and neon lights and exploding sounds that it takes our minds, our thoughts, our meditations off of Jesus Christ, because that's the whole purpose of this thing. The spotlight's supposed to be on Him, not on the ordinance. Now, this is how this thing breaks down. We come tonight to the Lord's table. We use the term my table. I have a table at my house. You have a table at your house. It's a reference to the place where we provide a meal. We say to a friend, I want you to come eat with me at my table. It's my place of my provision. It's mine, and I'm sharing it with you. And I want you to come to my table and have a meal with me. And I'll provide my place, my table. And friend, this is the Lord's table. In chapter 10, verse number 21, the Bible calls it the Lord's table. It is His place. It is His provision. He has provided this table for us. And what the Lord has provided at this table for us, physically, is simple. Bread and juice. But oh, the symbolism of what is on this table tonight is so wonderful, and that's where our attention should be focused, and that's where the spotlight of this ordinance should be shining. The ordinance should not be shining the spotlight on itself. Forget, if you will, the gold plates that contain the bread and the gold plates that contain the juice, and forget the preciseness of how it's served, and remember tonight that this is all about Jesus Christ. it's all about the Lord Jesus. In verse number 24, He said, "Take, eat, this is this bread that He put on this table tonight." He said, "Take, eat, this is My body. My body." And then in verse number 25, about the juice, the cup, He said, "This cup is the New Testament in My blood." This is simple. This is simple bread and juice. Tasteless bread. Put that in your mouth. There's no sweetness to it. There's no flavor because there's not supposed to be. It's not about the bread. It's about what the bread represents. It's the body of Jesus Christ who took our sin in His own body and suffered the wages of sin on the cross of Calvary so that you and I could be spared that awful punishment. I was sharing that with a preacher brother the other day, how I really truly believe that on the cross Jesus Christ suffered hell for us because He cried out, "I thirst." And you remember in Luke 16 when the rich man died and went to hell, he asked Father Abraham for a drop of water, a drop of water. On His tongue, off Lazarus's finger, because he was tormented in this flame. He thirsted. And then in the middle of the day, it became black as midnight. And hell is called outer darkness. And then that cry from the lips of Jesus, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me?" And God turned His back on His own Son. And hell is separation from God forever and ever. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus took our sins in His own body, as the Bible says, on the tree. And God judged Jesus. God punished Jesus with the wages of sin, not His, ours. And that's what that bread is supposed to represent. That's why it's so tasteless. That's why it has no flavor. That's why it has no fragrance. That's why it's just a plain little simple piece of unleavened bread. Because the emphasis and the ornateness, the spotlight's not supposed to be on the ornateness of the bread. The spotlight is supposed to be on the body of the Lord Jesus that was broken for us. The cup is simple. It's the fresh fruit of the vine, the grape juice. Fresh because of what it represents. We could not serve wine in this Lord's table service tonight and accurately represent the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ because His blood was spotless and pure blood, untainted. And can you imagine, friend, if fermented wine were served in a communion service like this, can you imagine where your thoughts would be if you put the wine, if it was wine in that little cup and you put it to your tongue and people think, "Boy, that's good wine. That's cheap wine. What kind of wine is this?" And all the thought process. First of all, it's not even a good picture of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then all the thought processes would be about that rather than the blood of Jesus. I read something very interesting this week. I was reading up on this and just trying to see if the Lord would lay a new slant. And this is not a result of what I read. But this little story that I'll relate to you, I read this week. In Spurgeon's day, there was a winemaker who advertised. There was a Christian publication called the Christian Commonwealth. It was a publication that was popular in Spurgeon's day. And the question was raised in that publication about what wine was used for the Lord's Supper at the Metropolitan Tabernacle. Because one winemaker had advertised his wine as the wine used at the Metropolitan Tabernacle. Now you understand, this place was huge. And seated 10,000 people. It was huge, and Spurgeon was a well-known figure all over England. And so that publication put that out, raising a question about what brand of wine was used at the Lord's Supper. On June the 20th, 1887, Spurgeon wrote to the editor himself, and I quote from Spurgeon's letter. He said, "Dear sir, we use Frank Wright's unfermented wine at the tabernacle and have never used any other unfermented wine. I am given to understand that some of the so-called unfermented wine has in it a considerable amount of alcohol, but Mr. Wright's is the pure juice of the grape. That's all we've ever used." I like that, friend. I like that. If the juice is not supposed to be in the spotlight tonight, it's simple, fresh, squeezed fruit of the grape. That's what it is. Because the spotlight's not supposed to be on the juice. The spotlight is supposed to be on Jesus Christ. The drink is supposed to be common so that the attention is not focused on the drink, but on Jesus and His blood. So the Lord has set a table for us tonight, and He invites us to come to His table where we will eat and drink of His provision, His bread, His cup, which pictures His body and His blood. And our fellowship, our supping at this supper tonight at His table is centered around Him. Tonight, we don't fellowship by talking about the weather or the economy or politics or sports or hobbies or recreational engagements or child rearing or strengthening marriages or gardening or cooking. We fellowship tonight about Him. At His table, we don't even fellowship about all the benefits we enjoy because we know Him. At His table, we fellowship about Him. The spotlight is not to be on the benefits. The spotlight is supposed to be on the beneficiary, the one who gives, right? I'll make it simple. The one who does the giving, okay? That's where the spotlight's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be on the benefits. It's supposed to be on Jesus. This is supposed to be all about Jesus Christ. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Now look, table, supper, eat, bread, drink, juice. Things we do all the time. But tonight, it's different. Because it's His table. It's not my table. It's not your table. It's not Faith Baptist Church's table. It's His table. It's filled tonight and set with His provision. And all the simplicity. In fact, it came right from Him. Look at verse number 23. I forgot to mention that. I was going to mention it just a minute ago and I forgot. Look at verse number 23 where Paul said, I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. That the Lord Jesus, Paul said, I got this from the Lord and I'm giving it straight to you like I got it straight from Him. So Jesus Christ set this thing up just like this. And all the simplicity of what is involved in this ordinance and how it's observed is exactly as Jesus wanted it, because He didn't want a statue erected in His memory. That big old picture I took of that statue in Torreon, Mexico, the second largest statue of Jesus in the world. You drive around town, you see all these little, whatever they're called, things out in the yards of people, and the statue of Mary and the statue of Jesus. Jesus did not expect us to remember Him that way. This is how He expected to be remembered. This is how He wanted to be remembered. The purpose of it is all about Him. He just wants to be remembered for what He did for our salvation. I mentioned this morning that up on Wacker Drive in Chicago, there is a statue, has three men sculpted there, a statue of three men. And it's George Washington and Robert Morris and Chaim Solomon, that Jewish man, financier, who basically bankrolled the Continental Army for George Washington in the Revolutionary War. You know, Jesus didn't want anything left like that for Him. He didn't want anything left like that for Him. For Jesus, it was a table. It was a supper. It was eat bread and drink juice. Simple. Common. Because it's not about that. It's about Him. And when we come to this ordinance tonight, and the bread and the juice and the plates are passed and all that goes on, our thoughts, our meditations, our praise and our thanksgiving ought to be to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Him and Him alone. Don't let anything steal the spotlight. Let this be the spotlight cast on the lovely Son of God who gave His body and shed His blood so you could be saved. That's what He wants. He doesn't want a statue. He doesn't want a college named after Him. This is what he wanted. This do in remembrance of me. Let's honor his request tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. Heavenly Father, thank you for leaving us this ordinance. And God, as a church, we come to your table, Lord Jesus. And you have made provision for us. You said to put bread and juice on this table. We followed your command. And you said that when we pass the bread, we should be mindful of your body. And we should be, when we pass the cup and the juice, we should be mindful of your blood. And dear Jesus, we'd like to do it just like you want us to do it tonight. You didn't ask for a statue or a street to be named in your honor or a college or an institution of learning. No, you asked that we observe an ordinance made up of simple, common elements because you want it to be all about you and what you did for us for our salvation. Our hearts rejoice tonight in what you've done so that we can be saved. I pray that, Lord, you'll be in the spotlight. You'll be in the spotlight tonight in our hearts and minds. And ask it in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The invitation is open just for a moment. If you want to step out, spend any time with these people.